Hey, praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Jesse Rich. Honored, delighted, and glad you tuned in today. We've been reading here the last few days here from Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go back to, again, beginning in verse 20 through 22. Now, this is where the work comes in and putting time in God's Word. Every day, we want to feed our spirit man on the Word of God and also keep our mind renewed to God's Word so when things come up in our life, the first thing we think of is, what does the Word say about this? Now, normally, we won't do that if we hadn't had a consistent diet of God's Word. Thank God for going to church and hearing the Word. But every day you want to read your Bible, highlight promises in there, and then go back through there, those scriptures you highlighted or wrote out or printed off, and just reread them to yourself. Feed your faith every day on faith scriptures, healing scriptures, prosperity scriptures, walking in love scriptures. They help always constantly remind us of what we should be doing from God's Word. So here in Proverbs chapter 4, now verse 20 through 22 says here, "My son, attend to my words. Inclined are my sayings, let them," the Word of God, "let them not depart thine eyes." See, this is our responsibility, to tend His Word, to make sure we incline our ear to His sayings. See, you can tell what people have been listening to by the way they talk. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance heart, the mouth will speak." It's just a spiritual law that what you put your time into is going to be what your mind is on, and what's going to come out your mouth. Now, thank God for going to work. You got to do your job, a secular job, whatever you got to do. But in your time, you're putting it into Word. Take your lunch hours. Take your breaks. Get up in the morning before you go to work, before you get the kids off. And then in the evening, do the same thing. The more time we put in God's Word and praying the Spirit and worshiping God, the more effective we're going to be at believing God, receiving from God, and accepting what God's done for us in our new covenant and freely given us to us. "My son, attend to my words. Inclined are my sayings. Let them," my word, "let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart." So meditating on them. Remember again, we referred to part of Joshua the other day. In Joshua 1 verse 8, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." It's a lot of work, isn't it? Flesh don't want to do that. See, flesh may not mind going to church as long as you go and have to get up too early, and as long as it's not real good weather outside, and on and on and on. As long as they don't have more than one offering, and maybe they won't have one offering, and here you go. No, don't let the word depart of your mouth. Keep them in sight. For they are life, to those who find them, health, all their flesh. I take Proverbs, as you can tell there, Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22, and Joshua, and put them together. Quote one right after the other. Or maybe just keep quoting the one. "This book of law should not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Well, I wanted to live prosperous and have good health when I heard these scriptures, like 3 John or 1 Peter 2:24. How's that going to be achieved? By me getting myself convinced that it belongs to me, Jesus bought it, paid for it, and gave it to me. And, you know, faith can, it's sort of like a liquid. It can be up one day and down the next. So what we want to do is to constantly attend to the Word. See, many dear believers, and we've all, you know, been lazy at one time or another, but you can't afford to do it. See, we can't be lazy in the natural. We can't be lazy spiritually. Faith works, and it works by walking in love. Now, there's no way in the world you're going to walk in a God kind of love unless you keep yourself close to God and pray in the Spirit. You'll get in the flesh, and you get thinking, "Well, I'm not going to take any more. They don't treat me right. They don't like me. It's always me spending all my money. They don't give me nothing," and just goes on and on and on. You ever have those thoughts? Sure, they come to everybody. Most holy saints have those thoughts. It's easy, you know, to allow yourselves to go back to the flesh and go back to that carnal mind. But if we keep, the peace of God will rise up within us if we'll keep ourselves meditating on the Word. See, peace is what God placed inside of our spirit that we're supposed to follow. Remember, follow peace. See, what do we have peace in our heart? Now, you have peace in your heart, and your mind's be telling you, "You can't do this. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work." And Satan will just keep talking to you. The thoughts will keep coming to you, and you won't even know it's from him. You just think it's common sense, as some people call it, or, you know, it's just the way we're supposed to live. I mean, after all, you know, doesn't God want you to be happy? Well, God wants to have joy, and He gave us His joy. He just didn't want us to walk in the flesh. The Scripture said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Now, how are we going to have this perfect peace? By keeping our mind on Him, trusting Him, looking to Him, following Him, obeying Him, doing what His Word said to do. And you see, there all these decisions come to our mind, and our mind tries to challenge us about anything we're trying to believe God for. James said, a double-minded man won't receive anything of the Lord. Now here in Proverbs chapter 3, the scripture says here in verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to understanding. Your understanding is your intellect. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Thank God for our mind. Thank God for our body. But we're to trust in the Lord. And there's been times when I didn't know what to do. And I just take these scriptures here in verse 5 and 6 and keep saying to myself, I trust the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean on my understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge him, he directs my paths. And just keep saying it. And just keep saying it. When I first started doing it, I don't think I even knew what acknowledge meant. But I knew my spirit man did, and I knew God knew what it meant. I knew I needed to keep saying it to myself. See, trusting God is trusting his word and believing in the midst of those circumstances. I'm what the word says I am. And, you know, every demon of hell is going to come against you, so to speak, to get you to doubt and get you to give up. You know, all of us, you know, if we've been born again any length of time and not gave up believing God for something. You know, I remember Joel Osteen's dad, John Osteen. He'd been, pastor in the church and decided he's believing God that he wants to help missionaries out. And later on in his life, his church and him gave millions of dollars to missionaries. So what he wanted to do is get some missionaries from other countries to come over and start just maybe a handful. And what they would do is they'd have services here and build them up in the Word of God, and feed them and, you know, buy them some clothes and take good care of them and send them back on their missionary field. Boy, you know, what a blessing that'd be if you're on the missionary field. Those dear missionaries go through so much. And so he started out, you know, and started telling the church, now, you know, coming up, you know, we're going to have our missionary conference, and we got, you know, 4, 5, 13, or whatever missionaries are going to be coming in, and we want to take good care of them, so they're going to stand, you know, start giving towards it and praying for it and getting ready for it, and as you would, you know, as you as a pastor. And so, you know, living in Texas, said, we're going to believe God that we're able to butcher 2 cows and give them, you know, fresh meat, Texas meat. And so we're going to pray tonight in service and believe God and release our faith to these 2 cows. And so, you know, they did. The church did. The church has learned about faith. And, you know, Jesus said, if 2 of you shall agree on earth, touch anything they shall ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. So, you know, he goes about, and they're preparing for the convention. It's getting closer and closer. And I think missionaries are going to come in and stay in people's houses and all this. And eventually, you know, pastor is going to eventually have all this property and be able to build homes and places from the stay. And I've known some ministers have stayed in some of those places. They're really nice. But, you know, they start out small and doing what they could at the time. Where they're at with faith and the congregation they had. You know, small congregation. And so they're believing God for big things. That sounds great, doesn't it? If you're going to believe God, why not believe God for the biggest? So, you know, Brother Osteen said, you know, it started getting closer and closer, you know, and we still don't have the cows. So finally, you know, they came up with the idea they just, you know, buy the meat and you know, and give it to them. And so that's what they did. And one day, Brother Osteen had this vision. He saw these 2 cows, and the devil kind of like ate them up. He knew what it meant. And the Lord said, you know, you gave up on your faith, and you let the devil come in and steal what you believe in me for. He said, I made a decision then, I'm not going to do that again. I realized that I compromised. I pulled my faith off. Didn't trust God. And sometimes it comes to the last moment, see, where the Red Sea divides and all the other great testimonies we heard in the Word of God. Well, now, that mistake he made, he used as a learning point. Later on, when his wife got attacked with cancer, and it was just going to be, you know, this is like hospice at home. There's going to be no way she's naturally going to live. He said, I remember I gave my faith up before, and I made a decision, am I going to do it again? And him and his wife stood together in Jesus' name, and she got healed of cancer. Cancer of the liver and, you know, throughout her body. And ended up being used mightily by God. Well, you see now, see, what did he do? Sure, he made a mistake, and who hasn't? But he learned it. Learned a lesson from it. Thank God, God's mercy showed him that, you know, you just let the devil talk you out of it, and we've all done it where, you know, and he built a great work for God because he learned the principle about when he fell down one time, when he gave up believing. You ever give up believing God? You ever thought, you know, I've been believing God, and, you know, and you're crying and upset, and then you start blaming yourself, and maybe blaming God and blaming others, and old faith doesn't work, and all the old faith stuff doesn't work. And you know, I held fast my confession of faith, never did get it. And then the devil bring up other people that didn't get it. And just goes on and on and on. Sure. Those thoughts that come to you, those feelings that come to you. It's all from the enemy. But you know, we've got brothers and sisters that stood their ground. Paul and Silas were in jail. And they prayed, and who wouldn't? But they began to sing praises unto God. And God got them out supernaturally. Hallelujah. So, you know, when those moments come that we want to feel sorry for ourselves, and our faith hadn't been working, and our confession hadn't been working, and our tithing hadn't been working, and on and on and on, those are just demons of hell trying to drag you down with doubt and unbelief. Now, remember the other day we said we need to talk to doubt. We need to talk to poverty. We need to talk to lack. We need to talk to spirit infirmity. We need to talk to fear in Jesus' name. Say, fear, go from me. Doubt, go from me in Jesus' name. Instead of tolerating it, you ever just tolerate it? You ever just tolerate worry and tolerate fear and tolerate unbelief and wake up every day afraid and wake up every day scared? I have before. And it would stay until you make it leave. And one of the things is this, I'm going to encourage you. Praying the Holy Ghost is going to be a great help to you. It's going to help expedite your Christian life. You know, you're not, if you're there in Proverbs, we read that, go over here to Isaiah chapter 28. This Holy Spirit through Isaiah is going to prophesy about being baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says here in verse 11. Well, I'm going to start out in verse 9. Whom shall he teach, chapter 28 of Isaiah? Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make known, understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the meat, from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. This is how we read God's Word, getting fresh revelation from it, line upon line, you know, instead of just power reading. Thank God for power reading, at least you're reading it. But you remember there in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sins of miracles, you may grow thereby. Paul said by the Holy Spirit there in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, I wanted to give you meat, but I had to give you milk. Well, see, God wants, we grow strong in the meat of God's Word. Thank God for the milk of God's Word, because babies need milk. But we tried to live on the milk, didn't some of us? You know? I remember I used to go to, after I got born again, I used to go to Pastor Helton to get him to pray for me about something. It seemed like it was amazing what he could pray and get me, get, you know, for me and get results. But then you know what? His faith wasn't, his prayers wasn't working that great one time after a while. And the Lord started dealing with me. What wasn't his prayers, son? You just started growing up yourself. In other words, he didn't want me staying a baby. Well, that doesn't mean we don't ask someone else to pray for us, but you got the picture, right? So here in verse 11, it says, for with stammering lips and other tongue will he speak to his people. See, we want God to speak to us. And one way he does it is course through his word, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, but also by that inward witness. Now, verse 12 says, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith he caused the weary to rest, and this is refreshing. Now, see what praying in spirit, stammering lips, and other tongue will do? It gives you rest, and it refreshes you. Spiritually speaking, your spirit man gets rest if you pray long enough. See, praying in the spirit, if you haven't been baptized in the spirit, you want to ask God to fill you. Again, Jesus said there in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's a gift that belongs to the church. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and it belongs to us, and he wants us to receive it. And he wants us to operate in the supernatural. Remember, Jesus said, in my name, they'll cast out devils, speak in new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things shall not hurt them, lay hands on sick, and they shall recover. All those are five supernatural manifestations of God's power, just as tongues is. Thank God for foreign languages, but this is being baptized in the Spirit, and you're speaking the language, you don't know what you're saying, and no man understands it. How about in the Spirit to speak of the mysteries? So you pray in the Spirit until you begin to get that confidence build up inside of you. You put enough time in it, you'll notice the difference. Remind our services we got coming up this weekend. We get our church services. Thank God for them. And check out our website. You can find out about them. And then our seminars coming up. New England Thanksgiving Revival is going to be, the Revival 2015 is going to be the week of Thanksgiving, Springfield, Massachusetts, the Sheraton Hotel. Two services a day. That's going to be the 22nd through the 28th. And then New Haven, trying to talk you into coming. It's going to help build you up. Take your vacation days and come and get, if you need healing, come and absorb yourself in God's Word. Get your hotel room there and stay there. If you don't stay at the hotel, you stay somewhere close by. At our New Haven, Connecticut service is coming up, and that's going to be December the 9th, 10th, 11th. That's right there, Yale campus. Two services a day, 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And in the week of Christmas, we've got our New England Christmas Celebration 2015. That's going to be that whole week, two services a day. That's going to be in Farmington, Connecticut, Farmington Marriott. Enjoyed being with you. Have a great time in God's Word. Remember, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.